Let's tune in now.
Hello, Reverend Billy here from Earth Riot Radio. This is a production of the Church of Stuff Shopping in New York City. I'm on the road here with Savitri D and a number of the singers from the Stuff Shopping Choir. And we are opening and introducing and kind of hosting night after night the performances of Neil Young and the Chrome Hearts. And we started a couple weeks ago. Now we've got 3 weeks to go. We'll end, where will we end? Hollywood Bowl, September 15th. So something has happened in the context of this tour. Neil is writing songs and he's immediately posting them. And yesterday it was Big Crime, a straight-ahead rock song that just lists the sins of our favorite dictator. He joins a movement, I think. Neil is joining a movement of, they're politicians, but they're also performance artists. Cory Booker in his 25-hour sermon on the floor of the Senate. Zohran Mamdani, the newcomer from New York. Bernie Sanders, Uncle Bernie, unmistakable shtick. Gavin Newsom, AOC. I'm thinking of the six people here that are as much like performance artists as they are politicians. They don't sound like they're corrupt. They sound like they're being themselves, and they're risking being themselves. They're so declaratively unique that it does make you laugh, and that's a good thing. They're like animals in a healthy forest who are constantly evolving to survive. They have no choice but to be more themselves with what powers they have. Oh my God. Let's just applaud something positive that's happening right now in our forest, shall we? All right. Here we go. Earthalluyah.
Earthalluyah. Sun Tzu said, "The good fighters of old first put themselves beyond the possibility of defeat and then waited for an opportunity of defeating the enemy." To secure ourselves against defeat lies in our own hands. But the opportunity of defeating the enemy is provided by the enemy himself. Thus, the good fighter is able to secure himself against defeat, but cannot make certain of defeating the enemy. Hence the saying, one may know how to conquer without being able to do it.
Eco Village at Neil Young's show here in just outside of Detroit at Pine Knob. And I'm here with some activists. What is your name?
I'm Paige.
And Paige, could you just tell us briefly about your organization and what you're working on?
Yeah, so I'm the Midwest organizer at the National Young Farmers Coalition. We are a federal policy advocacy organization, and we represent young and beginning farmers who often don't have access to generational land and wealth, but want to farm and keep the industry alive.
I heard one time that as much land as the Louisiana Purchase is about to shift hands as the boomer generation, sadly, goes their way. That's a lot of land.
Yeah, so we actually have a survey report. We surveyed 10,000 young farmers across the country to collect some data around, like, where is the land, who is it going to, because we know there's a lot transitioning right now. And on average, about 40% of young farmers of this next generation, they lease their land. And so oftentimes that makes it unsustainable to keep farming, and you're moving around a lot, and the operation might not survive. So it really is a problem to see this land, you know, changing hands. Farmers are aging out, their kids don't want to take over the farm, and then they just sell it to developers. But a lot of the, you know, new generation of farmers, they might not come from farming families, And they can't really afford to buy like thousands of acres, you know. So there are a lot of groups working on succession planning is what that's called. And we are more so advocating for policies that would allow existing government programs to be improved so that young farmers can access loans and capital and be able to afford that farmland instead of letting it go into development.
And now a conversation with Leonard Peltier. Most of you know Leonard's story, 49 years in maximum federal prison, a political prisoner, never tied to the crimes he was supposed to have committed, but a member of the American Indian Movement and a holder of so much experience, so much wisdom, and a wisdom sharer, as you'll find soon. Because we have questions from this time as he emerges in his new freedom. We have questions about the poisoning of our earth at this moment in our history. Leonard Peltier.
I remember reading the Trail of Broken Treaties document when I was a young woman. And I remember at the top, it said, we want to have a relationship with you, an honest relationship. And it really, it hit me hard as a young person, you know, the difference between a relationship and an honest relationship. And I wonder, you know, listening to you now, hearing all these lies and just all this, these obstacles that were put in front of you, you know, and making it impossible for you to just be you, honestly, right? Do you think it's possible for, you know, white America to have an honest relationship with indigenous people? Is it possible?
That's a good question.
Yes, I think it is a very good question. I think it's possible. It's extremely possible. If America admits what they did to us, they keep denying it. They keep telling us that they saved us from savagery and cannibalism and, I mean, every damn crime that non-human beings committed. And they still have not admit it, those are all lies committed. We get a few, and we got the Pope saying some stuff, and people have, some of the presidents have made statements about the way they treated us in the boarding schools and stuff. Little stuff, not what they should be telling the American people, not what what they actually really did to us. And it's a horror story of what they did. You know, I know there's a case in when Adolf Eichmann was in trial in Israel, and this prosecutor got up, American prosecutor, military prosecutor, got up and started condemning him about what they did to the Jews. Adolf Eichmann said, "I don't understand you Americans. Why are you criticizing us about how we treated the Jews? We got the idea from you how you treated the American Indians."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's all record. It's all on record. So, again, there's nothing that's being exaggerated or made up or whatever else. But when they admit this to us, and then they promise to leave us alone because we're still losing land by large amounts of acreages. I mean, we're talking thousands of acres. They're still taking that because of the minerals and stuff. When they leave us alone, let us operate, run our own lives, let us develop our own culture and whatever. I'm not saying that we want borders set up and all that, but that's not what we want. But we want to be able to live like Mother, the Greek spirit, put us here on earth as a race of people. That's all we're asking. When that happens, the people that have admitted that, we're good friends with them. We'll fight for each other to the death. You know, I mean, that's been proven over and over.
Yeah, I was at a Palestinian rally recently, a rally for Gaza. And there was some Palestinian folks there, and they were talking about how the Native Americans in the U.S. had helped them in the 70s and 80s, like had taught them how to organize.
We're still trying.
How to be resilient, you know?
Yeah. They're doing the same thing to them what they did to us. Same thing, only different weapons. That's all. More sophisticated weapons. But that's the same thing they did to us. They destroy our homes, our villages, our crops, our everything. They come in and just burned everything to the ground and killed off everybody they could. And that's what they're doing over there. In America, you're allowing them to do this with our tax dollars, your tax dollars. I mean, what God's going to say, I forgive you for doing this? What? I don't see any God saying, well, it's okay to do that. You did it to the American Indians, it's okay to do it to the Palestinians. I don't see any God saying it's okay to do that. So you call yourself a Christian? What is that, the teaching of your Christianity? I don't think so. I don't think it is.
Well, the Bible's a big book, and you could pick and choose what you want. You know,
I don't see any place in there where it says it's okay to wipe out another race. I don't see it any place. To wipe out a complete race of people? I don't.
Well, right now, the whites, I'm a white.
I got white blood in me. I'm not a full blood because of what they did to us. I'm not a full blood. I don't hate white people. A lot of white people fought and saved us Indians from a total genocide. No, I don't hate white people. I don't. No, I should, but I don't.
We're kind of like splitting in half right now. We've got, on the one hand, we have a highly militarized group of people in the control of the government who are, if you're a protester, you don't get your college scholarships. You don't get the right. You don't get the right. If they catch you protesting on their cameras, you don't get to,
It's called fascism, bro. It's called brown shirts.
Exactly.
Those are brown shirts. Remember, they did the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the young people are a lot of the young people. We just had this mayor race. It's going on right now in New York.
I watched it.
33-year-old. Yeah. Well, a lot of those are kids in their 20s and 30s, and they're just knocking on doors. They knocked on all the doors in New York. They just were everywhere, knocking on doors, having conversations one-on-one. And this 33-year-old Zohran Mamdani, talk about the young people. The young people are coming on strong.
I see it. They tried this before, bro. We went through this. This is what they were doing to us. They were coming in there telling us, every other person I met on the streets hated Indians because we were killers. We were murderers. We tried to kill their grandmothers and their grandfathers, or innocent people. All they wanted to do was grow crops or stuff like that. That's not true. That is not true. It's the opposite. And that's what they're trying to do again today. They're trying to get the majority of the American people to start hating Palestine and Hamas and all those other places because they want to go over there and build a beautiful place. We can turn this into a beautiful place. On the Trump
resort. A new Club Med in the on the Med.
All those people in the meantime.
I know we never get a chance really to even talk about all the other life that dies in those wars and all the other, the animals, the four-leggeds and the fish and the insects. And
True. We talk more about the humans because that's what, we're most concerned about right now. But eventually all those animals and stuff that have died are going to be brought out. There's another show of genocide and how they just totally have disregard for life, any kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question. What if this is a fantasy question, all right? So we've got we got 50,000 people in the middle of a city, and they all get visions from Mother Earth together. They have the same dream, and they encourage each other, and so they go off and stop a fracking well, or they go off and find a way to confront the toxicity that is direct. Like it's an Earth's. Is there such a thing as a revolution for the Earth? I mean, what's happening right now is our children are not going to be able to live normal lives as a result of profit taking by billionaires, and we're stuck. We're watching it. We're not, Leonard. We're not doing it. We're not.
We got to get up, though, brother. We got to. I can't get out there no more in the front line. I'm too old now. But I can
you're on the front lines
for my people, and I'm not going to quit there. I'm going to go ahead and spend the rest of my life advocating what I can to help my people from our all people. You know, we're all human beings. We're supposed to be. And so that's what the fight is all about, the revolution, whatever you want to call it. That's what it's all about, the saving the human life on Earth. And we got to save, in the meantime, we save the animals and all the other stuff too. But if we don't save the humans, then we don't have no Earth. We don't have anything. And that's the main struggle that I'm concerned about, is how do we save the human beings of Mother Earth? You know, we got to get together. We have to, you know. There's so much injustice out there that it's.
Earthaluia, we got to do it.
We got to. We can't say we can't. We can't. We can and we will. Because remember, I don't know if you go back that far, but this is what they were telling us in the 60s. We can't beat them. They're too powerful. We did beat them. We pushed them back. You know, this time we're going to push them all the way off. Maybe we'll send them to Mars with Elon Musk or something. Put them on one ship.
Outer space. We'll put them on a ship together. A veggie-powered...
Hey, listen, I'm enjoying this, but I got some visitors. So I got to go out and talk.
Oh, waiting for you. Can I ask you to, before we break up here, to send out a hello to a fellow water protector, Jessica Resnicek, in the Waseca prison in Minnesota. Jessica is against the pipeline.
Hang in there. We'll get you out. It takes time, and we're in a horrible stage of the struggles right now, but hang in there. I know after 49 years of it in there what I'm talking about. There's times where it seems like it's impossible and you're going to die there. I went through that numerous times. I was exonerated over 14 times. Just think of that. Totally exonerated. I got judges and condemning my conviction, world leaders, Congress, over 100 Congress people, senators, over 100 of them. I mean, and religious groups, and there was still the time. There was still times where I thought, well, I'm gonna die here. That's all there is to it. And I took it. I accepted. I didn't accept it, but I just refused to lay down and die there. I kept on going, and here I am.
we're so grateful to you for making time today, for all the work you've done, and so glad you're home with your family and accepting visitors and eating good food, and just so grateful for you.
Hey, and I got some nice-looking prints for sale.
We're going to find you a gallery here.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We all love you, Leonard. We're so grateful for your sacrifice and your teachings.
Well, it's not about me, though, bro. It's about
Mother Earth
and the struggle and so. You know, that's the way I believed from the beginning, and that's why I'm going to die believing that. You know. Oh, Doksha! Doksha! That means I'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good day now. Take care.
All right, Peter. Talk to you later, bro. Tell Neil I said thank you, brother, for years of support. You know, Daryl Hannah and all of them. Tell him I said thank you.
News from the natural world. I'm Savitri D. Today, we focus on Gaza. More than 500,000 people in Gaza are trapped in famine, marked by widespread starvation, destitution, and preventable deaths, according to a new UN-backed food security report. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the results of the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification Analysis, or IPC, were no mystery. It is a man-made disaster, a moral indictment, and a failure of humanity itself. Famine is not about food. It is the deliberate collapse of the systems needed for human survival. UN agencies have collectively and consistently highlighted the extreme urgency of delivering immediate and full-scale humanitarian aid, given the escalating hunger-related deaths, rapidly worsening levels of acute malnutrition, and plummeting levels of food consumption in Gaza, with hundreds of thousands going days without anything to eat. As the occupying power, Israel has unequivocal obligations under international law, including the duty of ensuring food and medical supplies of the population, said the UN chief, reacting to the famine declaration from the IPC, which is endorsed by dozens of governments, UN agencies, and NGOs as the key evidence-based measure of food insecurity and malnutrition. Mr. Guterres said Israel's denial of its duties could not be allowed to continue. No more excuses. The time for action is not tomorrow, it is now. UN agencies operating in Gaza joined the UN chief in calling for an immediate ceasefire to finally allow unimpeded, large-scale humanitarian response and the immediate release of all hostages. Agencies also expressed grave concern over the threat of the intensified military offensive on Gaza City and any further escalation in the conflict, as it would have further devastating consequences for civilians where famine conditions already exist. Many people, especially sick and malnourished children, older people, and people with disabilities may be unable to evacuate. By the end of September, more than 640,000 people will face catastrophic levels of food insecurity, classified as IPC Phase 5 across the Gaza Strip. An additional 1.14 million people in the enclave will be in Phase 4 hunger, with a further 396,000 people facing Phase 3 crisis conditions. Conditions in North Gaza are estimated to be as severe or worse than in Gaza City. However, limited data prevented an IPC classification, highlighting the urgent need for access. Classifying famine means that the most extreme category is triggered when three critical thresholds, extreme food deprivation, acute malnutrition, and starvation-related deaths, have been breached. The latest analysis now affirms, on the basis of reasonable evidence, that these criteria have been met. Briefing journalists on Friday at UN headquarters in Geneva, the UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Tom Fletcher said it was a famine that could have been prevented if we had been allowed. Yet food stacks up at borders because of systematic obstruction by Israel. It is a famine within a few hundred meters of food in a fertile land. It is a famine that we repeatedly warned of, but that the international media has not been allowed to cover, to bear witness. he added. It is a famine in 2025, a 21st century famine watched over by drones and the most advanced military technology in history. It is a famine openly promoted by some Israeli leaders as a weapon of war. On a wider scale, Mr. Fletcher said, it was the world's famine. It is a famine that asks, but what did you do? A famine that will and must haunt us all. Malnutrition among children in Gaza is accelerating at a catastrophic pace, said UN agencies, who note that in July alone, more than 12,000 children were identified as acutely malnourished, the highest monthly figure ever recorded, and a six-fold increase since the start of the year. UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk said the famine was the direct result of Israeli government policies. It is a war crime to use starvation as a method of warfare, and the resulting deaths may also amount to the war crime of willful killing, he said. Israeli authorities must take immediate steps to end the famine in the Gaza governorate and prevent further loss of life across the Gaza Strip. They must ensure immediate entry of humanitarian assistance in sufficient amounts and full access to UN and other humanitarian organizations. Since the last IPC analysis in May, the number of children expected to be at severe risk of death from malnutrition by the end of June 2026 has tripled from 14,100 to 43,400. The new assessment reports the most severe deterioration since the IPC began analyzing acute food insecurity, and it marks the first time a famine has been officially confirmed in the Middle East region. Approximately 98% of cropland in the territory is damaged or inaccessible, decimating the agriculture sector and local food production, and 9 of 10 people have been serially displaced from their homes. And now, a moment of silence for the people of Gaza.
Hello, and this is Reverend Billy saying goodbye. And thank you to all the people who participated in this half hour. I want to draw special attention to the six people at the top of the show here that, with their risk they're taking and believing themselves, letting themselves be so much themselves in public, makes us smile, makes us wish the best for them. And then we went through the half hour. We went through Gaza, and we went through the political imprisonment of a wonderful man, Leonard Peltier. And we listened and learned from his wisdom. The Ojibwe drummers, thank you. The artists and activists who meet their communities at the doorway to the amphitheater as people come toward the Love Earth tour. Thank you for talking with Savitri. Earthalleluia, somebody give me an Earthalleluia. Have a great week. Bye now.
You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
I teach my children about systemic racism and about historic and persistent colonialism and the responsibility that comes with their privilege. I will use my voice to speak up, and I will make more space at the table.
I will continue to educate myself and others in my community about the racism and inequities faced by BIPOC.
We will not be silent and idle.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and...
CJSF